I'm Matt Katz. You're listening to The Takeaway. The coronavirus has forced us to change many aspects of our lives, including our relationship with food. Restaurants across the country are closed or only offering delivery. Grocery stores have lines around the block, and people are isolating themselves instead of eating with family and friends. If you're practicing social distancing, that could mean fewer trips to the supermarket and a stronger reliance on non-perishable food. In the last month, the sale of pantry staples like dried beans, rice, and pasta have skyrocketed, while the sale of fresh produce has fallen. Dan Pashman, host of the Sporkful Food podcast, joined me to talk about how to make the best of your pantry staples, starting by explaining the safest ways to still buy and eat fresh produce at this moment.
The danger with bringing home anything from the grocery store, whether it's fresh produce or dry goods, is if the virus is on that thing, if somebody walked by and coughed on it or breathed out particles and it got on the surface of that thing and then you touch it and then touch your eye or you pick it up and breathe it in, that's when it's a problem. Eating it, much less likely to cause you a problem. If you bring home fresh produce and wash your hands thoroughly and wash the produce thoroughly, you should be okay.
Tell me about the non-produce foods, these pantry staples. What makes an ingredient a good pantry staple?
Well, really, I think the classic definition is that it's something that is shelf stable. It doesn't need to be refrigerated, and it can sit in an area of your house for a long time and not go bad. And that's why foods like rice, dried pasta, any kind of canned goods are especially good for that. Cans, jars. You know, we're talking a lot about pantry staples, but really the way that I think about it is sort of like any kind of food that won't go bad. So many foods all around the world from all different cultures and cuisines have been created out of the necessity to find a way to make food last a long time without refrigeration. And that is why we have so many foods that use fermentation, pickling, smoking, drying, and then in the last couple hundred years, canning and jarring and these technologies. And so, you know, all of these foods to me are kind of a piece. These are all foods that are created out of necessity by human beings so that to have food for a long time when you don't have a refrigerator.
And some of this necessity to store food for a long period of time has yielded some creative foods through the centuries, I imagine.
Oh, 100%. I mean, you know, it's very interesting to me that I think a lot of the foods that were created actually that were born out of very difficult times, or times where there maybe wasn't enough food or weren't many options and people were really struggling, have over time become hallmark comfort foods of so many different cultures. And so, you know, like look at a food like kimchi that is now, I mean, such a staple of Korean cooking that is a fermented food. I mean, there's 100 million other options. That's just the one that pops into my head right now. But I think that right now a lot of us are feeling stressed about the things going on, yeah, understandably. Right. And I think there's a natural desire to want to comfort yourself with food. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that to a point. And I certainly, and speaking to other people, have found that I think a lot of people are sort of like craving the foods of their childhood, craving the foods that they grew up with. I in our last big grocery store run, I went out and got the ingredients for cottage cheese pancakes, which was what we had every Tuesday night in my house growing up. And I made them for my kids once like 5 years ago, and they were too little to really like them. And I'm going to try to make them again, but I'm like, out of nowhere, I want to eat cottage cheese pancakes. And so I think that it's normal for people to be gravitating towards the foods that they grew up with. And then also I would suspect that the foods that we end up eating during this stressful time are going to make an imprint on us. And you're gonna have an association between the foods you're eating right now. And if you eat it again, even in 5 or 10 years, you're going to be like, oh, yeah, I remember during the coronavirus time, this is what I ate. And, you know, you'll have a story with it.
When people are making their supermarket runs right now, are there any items, pantry staples that you suggest people should be putting in their freezer or putting in the pantry?
For the freezer, I would say frozen vegetables. You know, if you don't want fresh vegetables or they're not available for whatever reason, yes, canned, but also frozen if you have space in the freezer. I always have frozen spinach and frozen peas on hand all year round. It's a great way to add nutrition to something. Like sometimes I'll be cooking something and I'll be like, oh, wait, I just realized I started putting this meal together and there's no vegetables in it whatsoever. Mm-hmm. So like throw some frozen peas in there. Boom, now you have vegetables. Throw some spinach in. But the other thing I will say in general, as people are thinking about what to stock up on, I do want to note I understand that we're all supposed to be minimizing the number of trips we make to the grocery store, so we should all be maybe buying a little bit more in each trip so we don't have to go so often. So we're minimizing our exposure to the outside world. That being said, all the indications we're getting from the larger, you know, people who run America's food supply are that there's plenty of food in America. And there's no indication that we're going to be in a situation where you're not going to be able to go to the grocery store and get some food unless you yourself are sick and have nobody to take care of you. And so I just will, you know, just encouraging people, like, I get it. I think that when times are scary, there's a natural inclination to hoard because it makes you feel safe. Like, okay, I've got everything I need. But I think we all can maybe try to fight that urge a little bit and make sure we leave enough for other people because, you know, there are some people who are struggling to get what they need right now.
I keep seeing pictures online of people baking bread and muffins and cupcakes. You know, it's all over social media. People posting about how they're spending their time in isolation doing these labor-intensive food processes with their families and making, like, sourdough bread. Have you noticed that? And do you think people are turning to cooking and baking not only because they're, like, stuck inside the house, but also because it provides some solace during this time?
Yeah, I have noticed that. And yes, I think that it certainly – I mean, first of all, if you're home with kids who are home from school, cooking and baking is a great activity. I love cooking with my kids. And, you know, it does require a certain amount of patience that I don't always have myself. But it's also a good activity to pass the time. So it has that benefit. But also, you know, I think that for a lot of people, cooking is a form of meditation even. You get very focused on your task. And everything else seems to fade away for that period of time other than the task of making the thing you're making. I think that's very helpful during stressful times to at least have that hour or a couple of hours or however long where you're just focused on this project and that's all there is in the world in that moment. And then at the end you get bread or whatever it is you made. So that's a bonus. Right? I mean, puzzles are great too, but you can't eat puzzles.
That's true. That would be ill-advised.
Yeah.
Dan Pashman is the host of the Sporkful Food Podcast. Dan, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks, Matt. Be well. Take care.
And we asked you how social distancing is changing your relationship to food.
This is Andrea Thomas, and I'm calling from Lancaster, Texas. Since I've been social distancing, I've not been going into the office, therefore not partaking of the snacks and donuts and even on some occasions alcohol that we have as part of our business. I'm actually at home cooking more and eating better. So in this case, COVID-19 has helped me drop about 7 pounds in the 2 weeks that I've been social distancing.
This is Joanne in Denver. I have my groceries delivered now. I wear gloves to go downstairs and get them. I cook a lot more and use what I have so that I don't need to make constant trips to the store. I'm really self-isolating.
I'm a skinny old lady from Ohio, and I am working at home now, and I am too close to the refrigerator, and all I do is eat.
We cook a lot at home anyway, but I find now we're cooking more and we're making even better food because every day feels like it should be special. So we make duck or we make steaks or we make really great chicken wings, and it's a lot of fun.
I'm Jennifer Jewett from Lancaster, South Carolina. Social distancing has affected me because I have a huge recipe collection. And having so much time at home has enabled me to go through my recipe collection and try some recipes that I wouldn't ordinarily try. I've made buca di beppo's tomato sauce for one thing and cooking various things with that.
My name is Veronica Gledhill and I'm in Booth Wynn, Pennsylvania, right outside Philadelphia. I'm trying to use things in my cabinet that I don't normally use. For instance, grits and vegetables that have been there for a while. I'm trying to really use up what I have. That way, when I resupply, it's not panicking buying. It's the opposite of panic buying. I'm using what I have.
This is Carl from Sacramento, and I miss fresh fruit and vegetables that I would normally be getting from a grocery store almost every day. I miss that.
Hi, my name is Alice. And I'm taking social distancing very seriously because I'm in a high-risk category. social distancing has forced me to use up what's in my fridge and my freezer and my pantry rather than going out to the store to buy things that I would rather eat. So I'm being a little more creative as to what I want to use up and in what order.
As always, you can give us a call at 877-8-MY-TAKE to share your thoughts on your relationship with food during the pandemic, or really any story on the show. We're here to listen. This is The Takeaway.